two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. Also, Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com, joins us because today Ben won the race. Ben won the race to be able to be the first to actually start covering live games on our staff of people who are going to be doing.
I'm like, what race did I not get to run?
Scott's a good all-time competitor.
I don't want to lose.
Hold on. I think I should go to those games, not Ben.
Hey, see, Ben's our NBA insider, right? And he even agreed with me on Boyan's defensive lack thereof.
Lacking, yeah. Yes. I think that we're...
The lackness of Boyan's lackness. Defense.
Well, listen, this is something I was interested about talking with Ben about, too, was the idea that... The idea that when you come back from camp in football, the whole thing is, well... If you've been off for a while, the defense is always just kind of a mile or two ahead of the offense. Is it the same way in basketball, professional basketball, or is it just like everybody's been off for a long time, everybody's going to be rusty on both ends of the ball, on both ends of the floor?
I think unlike football, which is so kind of unit oriented and when working together, what I think tends to happen is the stars come back as the stars because they're just more talented than everybody. And then some of those other guys take a little bit more time to kind of work their way back. So if you're looking for an advantage, I'm looking at the LeBron Jameses of the world, the Kawhi Leonards of the world, guys that really are not switch flippers necessarily. You know, they're just have to come back and get ready, and they'll lack some rhythm. But the amount of experience they've had, the important games that they've played in, they, I think, will come back in a better mindset and ready to go than some of the younger players who are just probably going to be a little bit overwhelmed by how quick and strange this is all going to feel.
It is weird to see like the coming back and how it's going to look, but they've said they're going to go to Orlando. They have all these what's it going to look like? How are they quarantining guys in hotel rooms versus – because I know that's been a point for baseball where they got stuck on that for a while and what's it going to look like? How many people can they bring with them down to Orlando? What are the logistic part of it? Because, teams, you can't just bring a kajillion people down there and go, okay, business as usual just in Orlando.
Yeah, so it sounds like first players are going to be invited back to their host city. So all the Jazz players who are out of state right now will start to come back and will return to the Zions Bank basketball campus and kind of get themselves just in shape. You know, they'll have conditioning for 11 days, 2 weeks, however long that takes. And before that, even those guys are probably going to have to quarantine somewhat before they can come back and feel like they're comfortable being placed kind of back together. So you might not have the team playing at all together in Salt Lake. Then they'll travel down to Orlando. You might have another short quarantine. Guys may have to test negative for coronavirus twice within a 24-hour period, something like that. And then once everyone does, you can get them back on the floor to actually start practicing. And that's going to have to happen by, I would say, July 10th, July 15th, somewhere in that range. So by July 31st, you feel comfortable having that game won, As far as where they're staying, I've heard rumors that it's Coronado Springs, and I only say that name because I know how many listeners you have that are Disney fans, and they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, exactly.
Look, I lived in Orlando for 10 years. I know where Coronado Springs is.
Scott's like, I'll give you all the best.
I know where all these facilities are, the whole thing. It's like I could take you around. The thing I'm interested in where this was, you know, here's Rudy Gobert. He kind of shuts down the world, right? He tests positive and everything. It just – all the dominoes fell at that point. There was a falling out with Donovan Mitchell over this whole issue and how much it was really an issue or not, who knows. But could that be an advantage now in that they've already tested positive for this? So they're, I'm assuming, I'm not a medical expert here, but I'm assuming that they can't get the virus again. And could they be going through this postseason, end of season type of scenario? And then you have another team who maybe they haven't had some of their players test positive, and I would assume that they're going to be tested on a regular basis, and if they are found to be with symptoms, that I would assume they would be held out or you know, gone for a couple of weeks. And I guess my question is, could this potentially, this disastrous thing that happened early, actually be a benefit to the Jazz in the end of the season?
Well, I think it absolutely could, you know, because like you said, these guys are kind of Teflon now when we talk about Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. Maybe they can get it again, but it doesn't sound like they're viral or they can spread it if they do catch it again, and it won't affect them. You know, they're not going to get sick from it again, even if they can be carriers. So those are kind of some of the issues the NBA is going to have to feel comfortable and feel like they have some absolute science on. But 100%, and Scott, it's not just, hey, LeBron James got coronavirus and he has to sit out. What if he's coughing? What if he's sneezing? What if he has a sore throat? I mean, what if it's just symptoms that are similar to coronavirus and they say, sorry, LeBron, you got to sit out game six of the playoffs against whoever, you know, just because he, even if he doesn't have it for 2 weeks, maybe he was sick that day and they're not going to take any chances of infecting two teams or one entire team. So absolutely, I think you're going to see players miss games and probably miss games somewhat frequently because guys are going to get sick. Guys are not going to feel well, right? And not just from coronavirus, but any sickness.
You'll have some symptoms.
Well, if you've had Disney food, you'll
find it. Quit it. Get over it. So here's the deal, too, Ben. Here's the question I had was, and they tend to just go, no. I mean, we know that media is not going to be invited to this kind of stuff, but obviously covering it is a huge deal. Or are they inviting the media? Is this the kind of thing? Because I look at it and I go, man, this is something that if you're there, you know, day one of game one or game one of the playoffs or, you know, What's the media going to be like for this? I'm assuming we're going to be kind of held back for quite some time still, too.
Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports reported that he had heard that teams might be able to bring back as many as 70 people. So you think 15 players, let's say coaching staff, trainers, that's another 10 guys. You're at 25. You're going to want the general manager down there, probably a couple of them. So Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck would probably both go. You're at 30. So how do you fill out those final 40 people? Is it broadcast media? Are they going to be in the arena? Are they going to be there? Do they need that to kind of fill out the regional sports network contracts? Is their family coming down? I had heard that sometimes the family may not be invited to the playoffs because if you do that, that cuts an additional six teams kind of out of this grouping, which further removes people can get sick. So maybe you don't bring the families down until you get to the playoffs. I think those are separate issues the NBA is still trying to figure out. And then I guess technically if you're trying to get to 70, you could maybe bring back some of the local media if you wanted to, if the media felt comfortable sending people down there. Are we going to have to pay for Disney Resort hotel stays while we're down there? Is that just going to be included with the NBA's agreement? I mean, I honestly think those are all really major questions, but it does sound like players are going to be able to be free to go to restaurants, kind of eat on Disney property. They can go play golf. It was reported earlier today.
Interesting.
Being able to get away from the game, I think, is going to be really important to keeping this thing working and kind of maintaining the mental health of these guys.
Well, we're talking about doing this during, like, making playoff runs during all this. This is normally the kind of setup that you'd have for a preseason, like, specialty something rather, but definitely not having the type of things on the line like an NBA championship, which brings me to the next point. What is an NBA championship in 2020 then? Is it like unto a 1999 you know, Spurs title or a 66-game Heat title from 2012. Like, how are we going to look at that? I'm asking you to look in the future a little bit, but is it so much different than these other strike-shortened seasons that we've seen?
I think it will be because there's no home court advantage. There's not going to be kind of these famous crowd moments we remember. You're talking about, you know, Ray Allen stepping back and hitting the corner three with the fans, or kind of the Spurs, not improbable run, but run in 1999 that we saw them win the championship. This will feel weirder. This will feel different. Now, it could go one of two ways. Let's say the Jazz win their first championship. It's going to feel really weird because the Jazz are probably not on the verge of building this dynasty that when you look at Miami and those Heatles, okay, they won a couple of championships. It's not like they only won because of the shortened season. The right. Spurs won four championships, made five finals, or won five championships and made six finals in their stretch. It's not like it was fluky that they won. But if you do get a weird team that doesn't feel like a champion, the Spurs this year, the Jazz this year, the Blazers somehow miraculously make a push, then it will feel extraordinarily wonky.
Yeah.
I know it's weird, and I agree with you. It's a great point, Ben, but I would take it. As a Utah Jazz fan, I don't care if it's weird. I don't care if every other player in the NBA gets the coronavirus for the Jazz to win the title. It's our title, finally.
Scott's trying to work out where he can stand on the parade route so that he's socially distancing.
I'll wear a mask.
Suddenly a caddy down at the golf course of the Disney World.
Suddenly Scott's getting involved, yeah. Caddying, doing something, trying to be involved. Ben Anderson, you can read his columns on KSLSports.com and the write-ups right now about the changes that the NBA are going to make to be able to get the season going, plus the effect that it'll have on the Jazz, both up right now at KSLSports.com. Ben, thanks for hanging out today, especially long, and we appreciate the fact that we're going to have some sports to talk about here coming up in the next little while. So we'll have you back soon here, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, taking the break. We'll come back. We got more to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.